Support for Boston Public Radio comes from Eastern Bank. Eastern Bank is committed to helping people and businesses prosper, investing over $240 million in local charities since 1994. Eastern Bank. Join us for good. EasternBank.com. Member FDIC. And Safety Insurance, offering auto insurance policies designed to help for when the worst happens. You can ask an independent agent about safety insurance. Safety Insurance. We'll help you manage life's storms.
Welcome back to Boston Public Radio. Jim Browdy and Marjorie Egan. Join us online to go over the latest headlines at the intersection of food policy and industry is Corby Kummer. Corby is the executive director of the Food and Society Policy Program at the Aspen Institute, senior editor at The Atlantic, and a senior lecturer at the Tufts Friedman School of Nutrition, Science, and Policy. Hello, Corby. And you know when I got nervous about sharks on the Cape is when The Atlantic ran a story about it. That got me nervous.
I see local news counts for nothing with you, Jim. Only national news outlets.
I guess that's what it is. Nice to see you, Corby.
Good to see you.
So, Corby, let's start out with this news story about McDonald's, what they're doing to increase workers there, going from $11 to $17 to start and a bunch of other stuff.
This is such, it's not a funny, it's a long overdue reckoning of fast food chains and big restaurants saying we have to start treating our employees like human beings. I mean, they were treating them like human beings. I don't want to be unfair to McDonald's, but they understand that to get people back because there's this big employee shortage for restaurants, they have to pay them more. And it turns out that unemployment insurance, sick leave, these are really important for employees. And the whole restaurant industry is up 1.3 million workers lower than when the pandemic began because many people are just finding higher paying jobs. They're leaving. I think that in another story we've been reading, an employee said, it took me literally a day to find a new job when she quit her restaurant job in the morning. So the benefits are better. What is McDonald's doing, which is almost 100%, 95% owned by franchisees? The franchisees are agreeing that they will bump up starting pay from 11 to 17, as you said, Marjorie. And they're going to be starting with 800,000 people. Or they'll be starting with 5,000 of the 800,000 people working in the chain. And leaders all over the chain are saying, we have to sign this pledge to pay more minimum wage.
It's not just more minimum wage. Did you say this? Tuition in some cases?
Yeah,
assistance,
pay
child
time
care.
Off.
The lead of the story. I think that's only going to be a certain number of franchisees who are saying paid time off to help tuition costs, draw enough workers to increase the image. Now, remember, Starbucks years ago started its whole We Will Send You to College program. And Starbucks, in another story we've been reading, came very high in employee satisfaction survey. So McDonald's is taking a leaf, and they should.
Yeah, stay on McDonald's, though. I want to get to that satisfaction survey in a second. I'm assuming that in your world, the line is, as goes McDonald's, so goes the industry. Are they have the most employees of any restaurant chain in America?
I don't know if they have the most employees. I think they have the highest sales volume.
Whatever it is.
They're just like, as Walmart prices go, so goes the supermarket.
So does this set a trend? Meaning if McDonald's feels forced to treat its workers more fairly, is that going to trickle down to virtually everybody who
wants
to?
We'll see. I'm unsure about that because so far it depends on how many franchise owners volunteer to follow this policy. Mm-hmm. So as McDonald's goes with animal humane rights and buying cage-free chickens and cage-free eggs as they did about 4 or 5 years ago, mm-hmm. that's a national purchasing policy that the entire chain can impose. That makes a huge difference to animal rights across the country. As far as this employee raising minimum wage, from what I read, it's up to the franchise owners. So we'll see.
Well,
Corby Kummer.
Corby, the thing we're reading over and over again is the desperation of people that run restaurants or run fast food joints getting work. So a lot of them are going to other industries where they have more reliable pay and stuff. So you'd think, and it's continuing, you know, when you go in these restaurants. So that would seem to be a huge incentive for some of these franchisees to get with the program, wouldn't it?
Marjorie, you're discussing rational behavior based on actual evidence.
Okay. So
you mentioned a second ago that there is this survey done of where the satisfaction level of workers in the restaurant industry is the highest. I assume chains are talking about. And where it's the lowest. And drum roll, the highest is Starbucks, Longhorn, and Texas Roadhouse, which the latter of which I've never been to. And the lowest is Chipotle, Sonic, and sadly, home-based Dunkin' Donuts. What are the criteria? How do they determine who's satisfied and who's unsatisfied from
these workers? This was UBS, which I think is the bank, and it was very uncertain. It was all over the map, this survey, but, I mean, it was really interesting. Chipotle had been up before the pandemic. Now it's down, even though it has one of the highest wages of any of the chains. Mm. It was about quit rate. So quit rate, the number of people who are leaving their jobs voluntarily, it's 5.6% in April for food service sector. That's an all-time high. An indication that restaurant sector employees find better jobs elsewhere. For Dunkin', generally what this article said was full-service restaurants, the closer they are to actual full service, the higher the satisfaction rate. I would assume that means higher tips and lower turnover, and that maybe, and I'm just, you know, freelancing here, maybe the customers start to treat the employees like human beings. But in Dunkin', it's all transactional, and they weren't happy in the survey.
Yeah, before we leave this, one of the things I love about you, I've said before, is you don't miss an opportunity to focus on a story or talk about an angle that addresses the quality of life, working conditions, et cetera, for the workers in the food industry and the restaurant industry. We're going to ask listeners at the end of the show, after we talk to you and John King, about if you're a big Dunkin' fan, and you'd say, I never go to Starbucks because that's for a different kind of people. I'm a Dunkin' guy or woman. Would you give up Dunkin' and switch to Starbucks when you read that Dunkin's workers have the lowest satisfaction rate and Starbucks workers have the highest satisfaction rate? I guess my question for you is, does this affect customer behavior like I would hope it would, or are you the aberration?
How depressed do you want to get? It doesn't seem that, I mean, in the whole tipping and hospitality included, and remember, in my own safety first restaurant protocols, mm-hmm. I was told constantly by the restaurant associations, don't talk about protecting the health of the workers. Talk about protecting the health of the diners if you want this to have uptake.
You know, one quick thing, you mentioned tipping. I've noticed over vacation, and again last night, and there were just two of us last night, where the bill comes with a 20% gratuity right in it. That seems to be happening more and more post-pandemic, which is fine with me because you need to sit and figure it out. But is this a trend that we are aware of, Corby?
I haven't noticed it. I know it's a holdover from the pandemic. And so when you would order online, sometimes it would be included completely. And at the beginning, when there was outdoor dining, I would find that it was included. I'm trying to dine only outdoors now, post-Delta. That's my personal news. But I am not noticing that it is routinely included.
Okay.
I think that it's because, you know, Boston is more enlightened, or the restaurants you were choosing, Marjorie, are more enlightened.
Actually, I've been to a number of restaurants. Maybe it is a Boston phenomenon. Number of places where it's 18-20%. And as we discussed in Marjorie's absence, I don't know if we did it with you when we were talking about the pandemic tipping bump. Was that in the Atlantic, too? I can't remember where that story.
Yes, it was.
In the Atlantic, the 20%, Marjorie, of course, that's built in, is the floor on which you add
you can
a little
add.
Something.
That's right. So
because
I'm wondering,
it is a special time.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm wondering, well, we don't have a survey on this, but you do feel like you got to add something.
Well, the Atlantic, you were all for this. They've made a compelling case in Corby's magazine that not only is there a bump overall that is enduring, at least for a little bit post, well, we're not post-pandemic, but in this transitional phase, people, very low numbers were tipping on delivery. They are much higher numbers are now tipping on delivery and even takeout, which is great. So the answer is people, customers seem to, at least in one industry, be appreciating the difficulty of the work and the working conditions for servers and other workers in restaurants. So I
you
hope
know, the world will really change when Grubhub and Seamless and Uber Eats incorporate 20% tips for the workers and don't steal them from the workers.
Yeah, that is really horrible. That's really horrible. So tell us about the rescue for hospital food. I think that would make a lot of people
less sick.
Very happy. What's happening?
Restaurant food is one of those unfixable problems.
Hospital food.
Hospital food. I'm sorry. Restaurant food we can talk about another time. You know, everybody tries to scale the mountain of solving hospital food, and Mass General and Partners, now called what? Mass General Brigham, was one of the country's leaders in a health system that was trying to kick out the bad chains, invite in local and healthier food chains to serve all of its customers, and then have an actual color-coded entree and food item in its cafeterias. This was a lot of Walt Willett at the chair of the nutrition school. So Mass General Brigham and the Harvard School of Nutrition were doing a lot about this. They are real outliers. The country's hospitals still often have McDonald's and the chains we've been talking about because it's just cheaper economically to for them to run. They,
really?
There's
they
less
serve
supervision.
McDonald's to people
oh,
in
yeah.
the hospital?
Chick-fil-A, McDonald's, Wendy's. They're big in hospital chains.
Oh, no.
For some reason, hospitals have not taken this on. But now, Tom Colicchio is lending his name. And he was the first sort of fine dining chef to start a fast food chain long before Shake Shack, may we say. It was called Witchcraft. And the witch was W-I-C-H, so it was for sandwich. You know, very good high-quality sandwiches. And they would have many, many fast food outlet-style outlets in, like, office buildings or concert venues. And now he's starting a new chain. The guy who was the operations head at Witchcraft is starting one for hospitals. And it's going to be healthier food. It's called Root and Sprig. And it's supposed to give patients, families, doctors, and healthcare workers a better meal when they're at a hospital. And I'm smiling because it reminds me of the very beginning of the pandemic when there was such a focus on feed the frontline workers. So the idea was that hospital, the McDonald's and Wendy's chains within hospitals couldn't get employees to come in. And so there were no options at all for frontline healthcare workers, even at their own hospitals. So the push was, let's hire back workers from restaurants. We can't serve restaurant meals, but we can have contracts to give hospitals decent food. So Tom Colicchio has used his operational savvy and his celebrity to start this new commercial venture, Root and Sprig, to go into hospitals. There's only a couple now, and he wants 19 in a couple of months in the pipeline, so he says.
You know, by the way, what you left out when you were talking a minute ago, the hospitals that allow things like McDonald's and Wendy's to be sold also give the customer a pack of Marlboros with their
wait a minute,
meal.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I just want to be clear on this because I'm confused. The patients were getting the McDonald's in their beds?
No, no
oh,
the
okay.
staff.
This okay.
For,
all
no,
right.
No, no,
I just want to be clear.
Visitors.
You're in there for cardiac arrest and they come up with a triple.
I'm going to say Marjorie in your dreams.
Can I ask you, Corby, I don't know if I've ever said this to you before. If I did, my apologies. But I always feel, you know, you're a sort of a restaurant etiquette kind of person too. Marjorie knows this sad story and I feel I have to out myself to cleanse myself. Through the years, whenever I have visited somebody in the hospital, more often than not, I end up eating their lunch or their dinner when I'm there. Because generally, I when you're visiting somebody, generally they're not feeling very well.
That's
they're
right.
in the hospital. You get to their room,
yeah.
The tray is sitting there with the Jello and the
vanilla
little
custard
tiny piece of fried. I was gonna, exactly, and the custard. And you say to them, "Why don't you eat a little something to your friend?" You say, and they say, "I'm really not hungry." And then you say, "Well, it shouldn't really go to waste. Do you mind if I have a taste?" Do you think that's inappropriate in those circumstances,
I think
Corby,
you
or not?
Just you do not consider a disincentive getting C. diff or MRSA. So you're a courageous man.
That's the courage that drives me. But by the way, it's also some of it, you know, depending on the hospital, I'm talking about for patients, not workers. Some
okay.
of the food is actually, improved dramatically. We're talking to our food guy, Corby Cummer.
So I love this story by Jacob Bernstein in the New York Times about mask wearing. And the headline is, "Are masks a new signifier of social class?" Because he points out that, you know, you go to these snazzy restaurants or even just regular restaurants.
Well, he went to the Hamptons, though, for this story.
He went to the Hamptons.
Yeah.
But even like, again, I was on vacation last week going out, that the people, the customers, are almost all there without their masks. And the staff is almost without exception their masks. So it's this, there's like two tiers system deal going on here.
Yeah, it has become a social signifier, meaning I am too rich to worry about wearing a mask, and I am happy to infect you and give you long COVID. Deal with it. You have to work for a living. I don't. So that is kind of the underlying conceit of this story. Gucci stores in East Hampton. And restaurant workers, a store, a clerk in a Verizon store who was actually interviewed by Jacob Bernstein, saying she was wearing her mask on a recent Tuesday, although Verizon permits vaccinated employees to go without masks. She says, "I don't believe half the people who come in who are supposed to say, 'I'm vaccinated, so I don't wear a mask.' I'm still terrified." She's right. People lie. There's no proof of vaccination. Certainly, I think that employers should be urging their staff to wear masks, and I'm starting to wear them again in stores, too.
You know, Corby, I talk about unsuccessful requests for information. I haven't even told Marjorie this. Last week, I said on the air, I got takeout from a great restaurant by this great woman who we had on, Tracy Chang Pago.
Oh, yes.
In Central Square, and not only is she doing incredible things
How
with your buddy.
How many times have I talked about Tracy Chang on
what's
the
that?
Show? I've turned this into the Tracy Chang show.
Well, no, she's amazing. She's done work with Jose Andres and doing work with poor people in surrounding communities in terms of, you know, appropriate food being taken, et cetera, et cetera. And the restaurant's fabulous. When I went the other night to get takeout, I learned for the first time there's a mandatory vaccination thing there, and they turned people away. So on Twitter, I invited people to give me the names of restaurants or retail businesses where there are mandatory vaccination things so that Marjorie and I could promote them. And I got virtually nothing back. And I assume that's because there are very few. Even if a restaurant doesn't mandate vaccinations, and I assume they wouldn't only because it would cost them a decent amount of money, I'm guessing, even though I would go out of my way to go to a restaurant that mandates vaccinations, how can a restaurant not at minimum ask if you've been vaccinated before you come into a restaurant to ensure that if they're going to let you in and the answer is no, that they have stringent, you know, safety first requirements around keeping your mask on other than when you're eating and drinking, Corby?
Well, the huge problem is people lie, just as we were talking about in that news story. So I think it's a good statement that the restaurant cares about its workers, that it is saying we only want diners coming in who have been vaccinated. Tell us you have been vaccinated. So it makes people lie to your face, but sadly, I don't think they have any hesitation about lying to your face if they want a table.
But
in
I'm saying that almost no restaurants apparently are going that far. And if they're not going as far as, to be clear, as mandating vaccination, don't they at least have to ask? And some people will lie, I know. Ask if you're vaccinated or not. By the way, in the case of Pagu, both Tracy and the woman who greets people at the door told me there were two groups of people who said no, they weren't, and they left without being aggravated. They were very politely dealt with and told only vaccinated people come in. So
there's
some
an underlying
people do
factor.
Tell the truth.
It's not only that the owner, Tracy Chang, has been an innovator since the very beginning of the pandemic in worker safety and helping out people. It is also that she is willing to lose money telling people politely to go away. And other restaurant owners are just very busy trying to make back the rent and the money they lost.
You know, I should give a shout out to my own yoga studio. Should I? Why not?
Well, of course.
Baptiste Yoga Studio in Brookline. You had to come in with your vaccination card and show them
Good
your
for
vaccination
them.
Card
Great.
So that people could know who was vaccinated and you were, could calmly come in and do a yoga class. I thought that was great.
See, the you know, there's no...
Because I wouldn't go back otherwise.
I was just going to say, I don't want to belabor this because I know listeners are sick of us sounding the same theme almost every day. Marjorie and I are two examples. Maybe we're outliers, Corby. she wouldn't go to the yoga studio. You said how they have to be willing to lose business. Well, she wouldn't go to a yoga studio where there wasn't mandatory vaccination. And I'm not going inside a restaurant where there's not mandatory. I'll eat outside happily or get takeout. I don't want to hurt anybody's business. But I think there's a market for publicizing. You get rewarded if you're vaccinated rather than treated like everybody else.
You are going to have the menu at Pagu memorized.
Well, that's probably true.
You're going to have every single dish.
I shouldn't say they had mandatory vaccination thing. I don't know if that. We had to show it, and then you were all set to practice. If you didn't have
why would you bring it if they don't show? If you can't show it?
We did show it, but the people I don't think there was anybody who didn't. No. They said you have to be, off in the corner in a mask. It's an awful hard thing.
Well, that's fine. That's what I'm saying for a restaurant. Yeah. So at least ask.
Exactly.
So that you're off in the corner in a mask when you're not eating and drinking.
But, why don't you have to show the card? Why are we all supposed to be in the honor system?
Can I just add one thing to this? Because we're not going to get to another story because we're running low on time, Corby. Marjorie pointed out to me, we haven't mentioned this on the radio. I mentioned it last night on TV, thanks to Marjorie pointing out to me. Axios wrote a story, speaking of vaccinations, that is nauseating. The latest project for Republican legislators around the country, and when they're not suppressing votes, and it's already become law in Montana, is laws that create anti-discrimination treatment for people who are unvaccinated. So in Montana now, you cannot discriminate against someone because of the color of their skin, their religion, their gender, their sexual orientation, or if they're vaccinated or not.
I mean, allow me to put the vaccination mandate into a national perspective.
Please.
The reason that there is no actual verifiable proof of vaccination that's national is because the feds and the CDC would not touch this. It is a third rail because of states like Montana that are protecting these rights. So unless you're New York State, which contracted with IBM for the Excelsior software that actually verifies and is linked to the state system, why isn't Massachusetts doing this? I wish they would. Then there's going to be states like Montana, and we won't feel safe traveling around the country.
On that happy note, Corby, it's great to talk to you. As always, you look good. Good to be with you.
Thank you very much, Corby. Corby Kummer joins us regularly. He's executive director of the Food and Society Policy Program at the Aspen Institute, a senior editor at The Atlantic, and a senior lecturer at the Tufts Friedman School of Nutrition, Science, and Policy.
How do you like that, by the way? You're treated the same.
I know.
Anti-discrimination laws apply to black people, other people of color, women.
Look at what Tennessee is doing about this vaccine and others' vaccines. Google it. It's unbelievable. They're cracking down on all these vaccines in the wrong direction. Anyway, coming up, a new Frontline documentary looks at the power of the Federal Reserve, and it's only helping to make the rich richer. That conversation is next on 89.7 GBH, Boston Public Radio.